So what are some of the maternal complications in breastfeeding? And can every woman successfully breastfeed? And what types of problems and potential treatments are there? Well, let's find out with Dr. Rachel Yang. She is a physician at Marin Health. She is also a breast surgeon and breastfeeding medicine specialist. This is the Healing Podcast brought to you by Marin Health. I'm Bill Klaproth. Dr. Yang, thank you so much for your time. It is great to talk with you. Can you start off by giving us a bit of brief background on yourself and talk about your unique expertise in this area?
I am originally from the Seattle, Washington area. I went to medical school at University of Pennsylvania back in Philadelphia, and then moved out with my husband to the Bay Area, where we had wanted to live for quite some time. And I did my general surgery training at Stanford, and then I made it to San Francisco for my fellowship in breast surgical oncology at UCSF. I subsequently completed my training and certification as an international board-certified lactational consultant, as well as a certified lactational counselor. And I was thrilled about 2 years ago to join Dr. Leah Kelly's practice at Marin Health in breast surgery, and I simultaneously started my own practice in breastfeeding medicine.
Well, we are happy you're here, Dr. Yang, and thank you for sharing that with us. So let's talk about breastfeeding. We know that breastfeeding is beneficial to a newborn baby, but can everyone be successful at it? I know some women have trouble breastfeeding.
Yeah, it's certainly not a hard and fast rule that everyone can be successful. Many people cannot be successful, whether that be due to something in the breast itself or something happening for them hormonally or other psychosocial or home-related issues. But for those who really want to breastfeed with adequate support of a lactation consultant or a breastfeeding medicine specialist, I think our rates of success can be much higher.
So let me ask you this then. If you have breastfed once successfully, does that guarantee you can breastfeed your next child successfully?
It certainly does not guarantee it. Absolutely is an ease to breastfeeding that happens after you've fed one child. And most women find that they are much more comfortable latching their next baby. They are familiar with the breastfeeding positions. They're familiar with any complications that they may have occurred the first time around and are able to pick up on those early on the second time. So in general, breastfeeding rates are higher with a second birth, but it doesn't mean it's a sure thing, and there can be new complications that come around the second time. One that is notorious for happening more with a second birth or subsequent is hyperlactation or too much milk production, where the body is creating an oversupply of milk, and that can lead to complications such as mastitis and abscess.
Right. So when it comes to breastfeeding, is it all about learning how to do it, or are there clinical / physical issues that can cause problems?
There absolutely are many physical and clinical issues that can cause problems. There is an important piece of learning how to breastfeed, but a lot of that isn't just about mother, but maybe more so about when babies come out of the womb, knowing how to latch and how to effectively transfer milk from a mother's breast and other babies, either for known medical reasons or for no known medical reasons, cannot immediately effectively breastfeed or latch. That's especially true with babies that are born early term or preterm, where they need some time often to learn how to breastfeed effectively. And any baby separated from their mother for reasons such as a NICU admission won't have access to the mother's breast as much in those early days, and so needs a bit more support and encouragement to understand and learn how to breastfeed.
Okay, well, that's interesting to know. So then what are some of the most common challenges when it comes to breastfeeding?
I would say that breastfeeding is very unique to the mother-infant dyad, and each have their own very unique set of challenges, or if you're lucky enough, you have no challenges at all. But what I see commonly are the ends of the spectrum, where there are women who experience low supply or difficulty with milk coming in or not making enough milk to meet the infant's needs. And that is classified under the term of hypolactation. And then on the other end of the spectrum, I see a lot of hyperlactation or oversupply, where mom has too much milk, whether that be because her body just naturally produces an excess of milk, or there is stimulation in excess of the baby's intake, whether that be from a Haka device, which is a soft silicone pump, or an electric pump, or this is her second or third or fourth baby and the body is in overdrive with milk production. And a lot of the complications that I see are related to those oversupply challenges, and some of the most common being mastitis, whether that be inflammatory or infectious. Inflammatory mastitis being more common, actually does not need antibiotics most of the time. The other diseases under the umbrella of oversupply are galactoseal abscess formation, as well as fast letdown or generalized breast and nipple pain related to the oversupply. And then lastly, there's a very common complaint of plugged ducts or clogged ducts. And that's something that is being recently understood quite differently to what we've thought of in the past, and really comes from the underlying etiology of inflammation in the breast. So a lot of my treatment focuses on breast inflammation.
So are these diseases slash conditions easily treated?
I'd say, again, it depends on the individual. There's really not oftentimes easy situations where it's a quick answer. I think breastfeeding is quite unique compared to other specialties of medicine where there are two parties involved. The organ system is really across two humans. There also are factors at play that aren't just biology, that aren't just an infant's mouth or mother's breast. There are the psychosocial elements of what's happening in the home, who's supporting the mother and infant. What are the hopes and wishes and desires of the mother? What is her experience with breastfeeding in the past? And so there's a lot at play, and the conversations are complex and lengthy, but sometimes the technical, pharmacologic, or medical treatment might be simple, but the conversations around what's happening might be more complex.
So we mentioned lactation consultants earlier, and I know that you are a lactation consultant. So do you work with other lactation consultants in the community?
Yes, I have a lot of joy from working with the lactation consultants in my very local and more regional community. We collaborate on many challenging cases. I find myself supporting lactation consultants who are met with really complicated, more tertiary care type problems with patients, whether that be someone who's now seen several doctors around a breastfeeding issue or has something that has really poorly understood or not been heard of before, or more of the run-of-the-mill problems that a lactation consultant who's newer might just want more support with. I also work closely with lactation consultants at my local hospital and some other regional hospitals to help with programmatic ideas and thinking about the structure of how we support breastfeeding as a system at large. And I enjoy speaking with various lactation groups on specific topics of interest, many of which are around the mastitis and inflammatory breast conditions and the spectrum of disease around oversupply.
So then what are some things that would prompt a mother to seek medical advice when it comes to breastfeeding?
I would say the first most important category would be pain of the breast or pain of the nipple, and pain that's much greater than expected or out of the ordinary. So I would say that women often experience discomfort or some amount of pain in the first few days after giving birth as the nipples are adjusting to breastfeeding or pumping. But if this is persisting or really quite severe, definitely seek medical attention. There are many treatable causes for breast and nipple pain when breastfeeding, and I do see a lot of that. Another common reason to seek medical advice when breastfeeding is if a fever is developed or if the skin of the breast is becoming red. Those are signs of mastitis, and certainly a physician should be notified of this. Some other concerns that should prompt evaluation are a new lump in the breast or mass, and that can be many things, whether it be a fluid collection or some amount of inflammation. And oftentimes those need imaging, such as an ultrasound, to evaluate what's going on in the breast. If there is any concern about not having enough milk, whether that be because baby is not growing adequately, hopefully a pediatrician would have noticed this and investigated it. But if there are concerns around baby's intake of milk, if there are concerns around how much milk is being produced by pumping, and lastly, if there are concerns about how effectively baby can breastfeed. So if a mom is noticing that baby breastfeeds for a few minutes but is always needing to get a bottle after, well, that's a baby who can't effectively transfer milk from the breast into their mouth. And that's something that really benefits from focused intervention to help identify what problem is at hand.
Yeah, that is a really comprehensive list. So thank you for sharing that with us. And it probably goes without saying, better sooner than later, if you are experiencing any of these things, always worth a call to the doctor. Is that right?
Yeah. And I think most of these are not middle of the night emergencies, but certainly getting to a doctor as soon as you can during the week is something worthwhile. And the sooner you can intervene on a breastfeeding challenge, the better. babies and moms have a window of time where they can learn to breastfeed effectively. And I always feel that expediting breastfeeding mothers being seen in my clinic as early as possible is of utmost importance so that we can intervene earlier and get people on track.
Dr. Yang, I want to thank you so much for your time today. One last question. You have a unique set of skills. You're a breast surgeon, but then you're also a lactation consultant. That is a unique set of skills. How does that help you serve our community?
Yeah, I think the realm of breastfeeding medicine as a whole is incredibly useful because having physicians who are not only well-informed about the pathophysiology of breastfeeding, but also able to intervene in a way that lactation consultants often don't have the capacity to, specifically with ordering diagnostic tests and providing medications when appropriate, or even recommending or performing a procedure. That is a huge asset to breastfeeding women and to our medical system and community. I'm a bit unique as most breastfeeding medicine specialists are not breast surgeons. There are a few of us out there. And I think for us, there's even more of a niche being filled specifically for women who've had breast cancer in the past and wanting to breastfeed in the future, or have had breast surgery of any kind, whether that be augmentation or breast reduction, we can give specific help to them. I think my training as a general surgeon is very useful in understanding the disease process and the physiology happening at when there are significant wounds to the nipples, wounds to the areola when breastfeeding, and appropriately treating that. And lastly, there's a huge need for intervening on some of these more advanced processes at play with the mastitis spectrum. So when women have a galactosele or an abscess resulting from prolonged mastitis, it's really a breast surgeon that's needed. So it's certainly helpful for our patients and our providers and other disciplines to have a breast surgeon who can intervene on these processes, but also be informed about what needs to happen and change with the breastfeeding between the mother and the infant to support healing from an abscess or a galactosele and prevent another one from forming in the future.
Well, that certainly does give you an interesting perspective. And again, it is a unique set of experience and knowledge to help you treat your patients for sure. Dr. Yang, this has really been interesting. Thank you so much for your time.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
And once again, that's Dr. Rachel Yang. And to learn more, please visit marinhealth.org. And if you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social channels and check out the full podcast library for topics of interest to you. This is The Healing Podcast, brought to you by Marin Health. I'm Bill Klaproth. Thanks for listening.